providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed the first two segments with Rick Bensignor jumping around to a wide range of markets, getting Rick's comments on where he thinks everything is going. In this segment, I am chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now, Mark, let's start off with more of a focus on the US dollar while still outlining all of the kind of key news events that happened this week. And boy, was it ever a busy week for news. Starting off with the Fed. The Fed did deliver that 25 basis point rate cut, but did not deliver any sort of solid forward guidance for more rate cuts. That initially did move the dollar higher. The markets were a bit mixed to down. It was kind of a weird market reaction, but still focusing on the dollar. What do you think the Fed's impact will be on the dollar? And what was your thought on the Fed statement?
Yes, I think the Federal Reserve has a challenge in communicating to the market. I think the market is biased towards dovishness. I think that the Federal Reserve doesn't appreciate the economic headwinds facing us, and that the Federal Reserve will have to cut rates more than Powell seemed to suggest with his mid-course correction idea, mid-course adjustment. You know, this is really a throwback to the phrases that Greenspan used to use back in the 90s. And what it meant, both times he used it, 95 and 98, was essentially three 25 basis point rate cuts. So Powell had difficulty communicating these nuances to the market. And I thought we saw it chop around. The euro made new lows for the year. Several currencies, including sterling, new lows for the year. Euro broke through 111 and continued to about 110.20. The other big story, speaking of the exchange market, was really the Japanese yen. You know, I've been highlighting this importance of this 109 resistance area. It's about a three-month high. You've got a bunch of technical indicators that came in there. So if we got a sustained break of it, that's why the discipline of sustained break is so important. We got up to about 109.20, and I thought that if we could really sustain this break, we'd go up to 111. And we get up to 109.20, 109.30, and that's when we got the Trump's tweets about the new the end of the tariff truce with China. And dollar-yen goes from the top end, penetrating the top end of its range, to penetrating the bottom end of its range, 107, and we fell to about 106.50 before the weekend. So the yen was a big mover this week. Net-net, it gained almost 2% against the dollar, while the British pound, still plagued by Brexit, lost about a percent and three quarters.
So, Mark, what do you think is the main driver, will be the main driver for the dollar? We got such wild swings, and in all fairness, it's a complete crapshoot as to when Trump is going to tweet something. I think we have a general idea of what the Fed's going to do. However, they're so market reactive. How can anyone play the dollar right now if any day it can be thrown off balance by a tweet?
Yeah, no, I think it's a challenge, especially for short-term traders, because, you know, as short-term traders and individual investors like ourselves, we often have the short stack at the table. And so I know that many people I know, I can say there's maybe three ways people tell me to make money in the markets, any market, including FX. So you buy low, sell high, which is buy low, sell high. You go with the underlying trend. You fight the trend. You go for a mean reversion strategy, or you have some kind of carry trade. And many people that I know, I try to find those trends. And there are a couple of interesting trends in the foreign exchange market. Recently, I'll give you an example. The British pound. We know that it's been hurt against the U.S. dollar because the dollar has been strong. But where it's really impressive is against the euro. The euro has gone up 13 weeks in a row against the British pound. And this is the Brexit idea here. This is you got a lot of these economic forces at work here, favoring the euro, which is, as I mentioned, fell to new lows for the year against the dollar, but it's been climbing steadily. 13 weeks in a row, a record length. Now, so a weekly trend might not be what some of people are interested in. What about a daily trend? Well, here, what about this one? The Australian dollar has fallen 11 days in a row against the U.S. dollar. So from basically from July 19th through Friday, August 2nd. The Aussie's been down every day. And so my job as a strategist, but also what I want to do as an investor, is I'm looking for the trends. And of course, the problem is as soon as we find trends, they usually are exhausted. They're like those dolphins when they just got to jump out of the water. By the time you see them, they're already headed back down. But here are a couple of trends that have been sustained, and there's a good fundamental story behind these trends being sustained.
Okay, let's talk about trends then, because the U.S. dollar did make an intra-week higher high, right after that Fed statement, but then pretty quickly reversed. Are you worried at all that the dollar might go through a bit of a reversal here, that this trend might be coming to an end, or is there still more, you think, left in global weakness that can push the dollar higher, even if Trump doesn't want it higher?
Yes, so where are we, I guess in the short run. Right, I think I might have used this expression a bit last time we talked about how, though I don't golf, people tell me you drive for show and putt for dough. So to me, I mean, as a currency strategist, as an investor, is the big picture is nice to know. That's a big map. But what ultimately makes us or loses money is that short-run discipline. And so in the big picture, I think the dollar rally that I think I helped forecast back about a decade ago, I think that's over, or just about over. So the big move, I think, for the dollar is over, and now we're going to be carving out a top. In the very near term, back to putting, I think that the dollar index made a very important high near 99 on Thursday last week. That is a measuring objective of a head and shoulders pattern I've been charting out. The price action itself on that day was a reversal. We had follow through ahead of the weekend. So, and then I'm looking at my technical indicators. And of course, you don't want to just use one. And so I'm looking at like the MACDs, moving average, convergence, divergence. And I'm looking at the slow stochastics. And both of those are rolling over from overextended conditions. So my guess of what's going to happen here is dollar is going to consolidate, correct, a rally that began in late June. And we correct this month. August will be a difficult month, I think, for the dollar bulls. We correct. Maybe it's even a difficult month for the stock market. And then at the end of August, we begin looking forward to with the Jackson Hole. But also, September is when the ECB is likely to cut rates, when the Federal Reserve market's pricing in almost 100% confidence the Fed cuts in September as well. We're likely to get other action from other central banks come September, October.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you get those 100% market expectations when it comes to the Fed and a meeting that is still 6 weeks off, you got to assume that those are going to dissipate a little bit and start moving the other way, whether they do or don't cut. Just know that 100%, that's very much an extreme. Let's talk about U.S. market considerations, though. The market sold off to the end of the week. There are still a number of bears out there, but there are still a number of bulls that say, you know what, the fundamentals of simply more easy money, lower rates, do point to the fact that more money is going to continue to flow into those U.S. markets, also because they are globally viewed as one of the best markets to invest in. Where do you stand on the U.S. market trends?
Yeah, so the S&Ps, I've been looking for 30-30 in the S&P 500, and we stopped, just shy of that at the end of early part of last week or so. The sell-off at the end of the week, a couple of important things, and I think near term it gets sustained. A couple of things to look at for me is, one is the trend. I use it as a near term trend, back to the putting analogy, the 5 and 20 day moving averages. And here at the end of the week, the 5 day dip below the 20 day moving average in the S&P 500 for the first time since early June. So if you follow this blindly, which I'm not encouraging as a trade strategy, but if you would follow this blindly, you'd be long the S&P from in June. We were trading about 28.25, and you'd be out of it yesterday on the cross, or this morning on the crossing over of it. So So the pullback, I think, one is we got the technical sell signal. Two, we've had some divergences in some of the technical indicators I looked at. But the sell-off has been so hard, so quick, that we've already retraced roughly that Fibonacci 38.2% retracement of the rally that we had from the early June. So that two-month rally or so, we've corrected a nice chunk of it. And I think we'll have to do a little bit more. Maybe we'll have to get closer to the 50% or the 61.8% retracement comes in around 2840. That would give us another 100 points or so to the downside, say, at the most. I do think it's a correction. I do think that yields, because yields stay low for a long time, that there's not much else people who want to have something besides passive investment. They have to take some risks, and I think the stock market's a nice proxy for it. And so I think we've weathered through some hard times, and we're going to get lower Fed funds, lower U.S. interest rates for longer. And I think it gives us no choice but to look at the stock market.
So still very much the buy the dip mentality, hey? And that does go hand in hand with still, you think about that Powell put, because the Fed is still, or well, it is being very market reactive. Let's also talk about gold, because gold has, after breaking out, more or less been consolidating that breakout, trading in a higher range, right around 1400, almost up to 1450. And even after that Fed statement, gold moved down because a lot of the doves were moving into gold, thinking, hoping for a more dovish statement. But then Trump's tweets, that immediately helped gold recover. What's your view on gold?
Yeah, so I'm still, you know, I'm not a gold bug. I know that there's some people who always like gold, and I'm not one of those people, but I do see an opportunity here. For me, it began when we broke above 1400. I know for some of you, it's kind of late to the game, given that the low for the year, maybe closer to 1250 or something like that. So when we got above those 2018 highs, the 2016 highs, I like that technically. I like the idea that lower interest rates for long, and you know, as we sit here, you know, at the end of July, there was something like a little bit more than $14 trillion of negative yielding bonds. This is just it's a mind-boggling idea, negative interest rates, let alone that there's $14 trillion, something like 25% of all the debt in the world now, negative yielding. And so I think that makes gold look more attractive, because gold doesn't have a yield, means it doesn't have a negative yield either. And the other thing I like about gold, I think, is that the geopolitical tensions, I think that with the U.S. weaponizing the dollar, with these tariffs, I think people look for alternatives. They think that the geopolitical framework, the international organization, if you will, is going to have to change. And it looks like some central banks and some investors think that that could be renewed interest, a renewed role for gold. And when I look around the market, I think to myself, where is their 20%? And I could see a case for 20% in gold, which I thought would bring us up to about $1,700 an ounce. And like you say, you know, we get above that 1,400. A lot of latecomers like me like it. We consolidate for a while as we get churned around. And I think it's still building a base. And I think that maybe we stay above like that 1,350, 1,380 area, and then we can still be headed up higher.
Yeah, you're not alone looking at those levels, 1350, 1380 as a nice support zone. But one more comment. You kept saying being a little bit late to the game, taking into account that gold did top. Now it's like 8 to 9 years ago. It topped at almost $2,000. Do you think that there is still that potential for gold to move higher? It was in a really long-term bear and flat market there.
Yeah, no, that's why I think that if we're right technically about this 1,400 being the top end of this base that we've really been like 6 years in carving out, I think that the why I think I'm kind of just late is that we did have that momentum earlier in the year, but I was hesitant as we had, you know, as we stayed below those 2016 and 2018 highs. And so it really took me to become convinced. And so I think that the price to pay to come late to the game, I think a little bit, is that you have to pay for this consolidation as other, you know, as more people get in and there's some revolving of positions.
All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up there. It's always a pleasure chatting with you at the end of the week, recapping the news of the week, especially on weeks like this when there is so much to talk about and we did get some pretty wild volatility in a wide range of markets. But that whole wild card of Trump and his tweets and what he wants the markets to do and what he wants the Fed to do is really making it, I think, difficult for at least some investors, or especially those day traders. But that's why I like to pay more attention to those longer term trends. Mark, great chatting with you. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with a company update on a resource company that has very much been in a bullish formation. Thanks for your time this weekend, Mark.
Thank you. Good luck to everybody.